This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Cowboys signed George Aloka on Saturday, and Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 10th best safety available to start the offseason. Not the 10th best safety last season, the 10th best safety available. Yes, Eric Berry is still unsigned. He is going to turn Aloka 29 on March 31st, tweeted out a picture of him in a Cowboys hat, and George Aloka probably going to be added to the secondary as a starter.
Okay. All right. They got their guy. By their guy, I mean they got the guy that was willing to take the money they were willing to offer for the position they were willing to fill.
Yes.
By the way, we still don't know what that money is. Yeah, do we? I have not seen a specific number out there.
I haven't either.
In regards to George Aloka, hopefully Mike Fisher will have an update on that at 7:20.
So you mentioned 10th best safety available, not in the league, but available right behind Eric Reed. And Eric Reed got a 3-year deal in the 20s in the terms of overall $1 million. So like the fact that they signed him and Eric Berry's still available kind of shows me either Berry wanted way too much money or they weren't completely okay with his health.
Yes.
You know, and that's a big question, right? Whether is he going to be healthy enough? How convinced are they that his ankle, his Achilles, his knee, his injury history is all there and all fine? So I'm okay with them not wanting to overpay for that. If it was a 1-year deal, I could have bit the bullet, but
yeah.
You know, it depends on what this money is. Now, they gave him $10 million for this 1 year.
I don't think so.
Then we got to have a conversation.
Yeah, I don't.
But we know they didn't do that.
Think so. Roy wrote something funny in his email yesterday. Fans love Jeff Heath, but it's important to remember he had the most missed tackles by any safety against the run last season. Fans despise Jeff Heath.
Oh. I guess I felt like a lot of fans held on to the fact that Jeff Heath was the one playmaker in the second
playmaker?
Half. The fact that he's led the team in interceptions in 2 of the last 3 years.
Well, but that's not really
he's not a playmaker.
No, I know. That the joke is relative to rest of the secondary, who no one makes plays.
Right.
I think was the joke there. But I suppose if you want to laugh at that, okay, I'll take that for you because... I mean, I just thought that fans thought of Jeff Heath as a piece. Now, I know he's the guy we're trying to replace
He's the replacement tire until you get your real one.
Okay.
He's the...
We've run the tread
spare
on that.
Tire?
Not the spare, but it's the spare, but it's...
The donut?
The donut.
Yeah, he's the donut.
He's a donut. People just dying to get him replaced and have him back into a reserve position. And I understand why. Like,
he's cheap.
Over the past 2 years, much better than what he had been. Because I thought he was going to get run out of the league.
Sure.
I guess that was kind of what he held onto the job. For what you want to say, he held onto the job against people who honestly were given more opportunities to take it. It felt like.
Well, they don't have any names or real talent.
Yeah,
I guess you could say Xavier Woods, but who are we throwing out there? Kayvon Frazier?
Yeah.
Like, think about, and I'm not attacking your point, but Jeff Heath held onto it by
default. Jeff Heath is safe. He's not going to make mistakes, and he's not going to make plays. That's what he is.
He makes some mistakes.
He's just, he's just a guy out there. He's cheap.
Yeah.
And I bet you his his salary per play is really, really good. like, really, really good. Randy Gregory good, Roy. That's what he is. He's Randy Gregory without the weed. The safe player who doesn't make any money.
George Aloka, now a member of your Dallas Cowboys. We'll get more of a scouting report from Fish at 7:20. The news broke yesterday that Rob Gronkowski is retiring.
Yes, he is.
And we have been waiting for this. You watch Gronk walk. There's certain people in sports when you watch them walk, you're like, oh, my gosh. Like Nate Newton. See Nate Newton walk. Phil Jackson. Watch Phil Jackson try to move. And seriously, it's like they call him the human coat hanger, you know? And then when you look at Rob Gronkowski, this guy, he's just such a big target to take shots because he's such a monster.
Yeah.
Watching him run and watching him move, like this obviously is not surprising at all.
No. I mean, the Patriots, I think, were taken by surprise because it happened so late. You know, like for them, I mean, free agency and tight ends isn't really this huge market, but, you know, like they probably would have liked to have had this announced 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, right after the Super Bowl. But, you know, Gronk did it when he was ready to do it, and he is going to retire and going to take over the Monday Night Football booth.
Well, that's not going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. He is going to be in Troy's favorite activity moving forward, probably, and that will be wrestling with Pat McAfee somehow, some way. I'm not reporting that. I'm just saying everyone is pointing towards that. Gronk goes out on top, 6 catches, 87 yards, including the huge 29-yarder in the second half against the Rams when this was a 3-3 game, and that put the ball down on the 2-yard line. So this is going to be a numbers versus feel thing. The immediate headlines and reaction yesterday was, number one, instant Hall of Famer. Number two, the most dominant tight end that we've ever seen. There's something weird for me when thinking about Gronk that's holding me back from like instantly labeling him number one. And it's the availability. I know that when he was right and when he was there, he was absolutely dominant. He was also a blocker. But like there's something to the availability that's like holding me back from the instant stamping of him as the all-time greatest tight end and instant Hall of Famer and all that stuff.
Yeah, he had these are his games played. 16-16, 11-7, 15-15, 8, 14-13. I think that's more than we expected it was going to be. I mean, if you play 14 games in a year, I don't really consider that unavailable.
Okay.
Now, obviously, he had two in there where he's at 7 and 8 and one at 11. That's completely unavailable.
Because he's got all the numbers.
Oh, he has as many 1,000-yard seasons as Jason Witten does in basically half the years. He is, without question, the most dominant tight end we've ever seen. There's not even a question about it.
It's kind of like Shaq.
At the height of his powers, no doubt.
Like, I don't know if he's the best, but, in his prime, like, just straight dominance, maybe not the best.
You got to compare him more to, like, to me, you got to compare him more to, like, a Derrick Rose. He was the youngest MVP in NBA history, but his career was derailed significantly by injuries. And even though you'll remember his young time as being fantastic and amazing and one of the best you've ever seen do it, he had all these features. He had the bounce. He had the step. In Gronk's case, he had the size. He had the speed. He had the catch radius. But he didn't have the availability on a consistent basis, especially as the season went on. And that is just, you know, you can see that in the fact that every year the amount of armor that he wore would increase.
Yeah.
By the last time he was there, he had 2 elbow braces, 2 knee braces, and an ankle.
Yeah, right. The difference, though, is Derrick Rose, once he got injured, his game stopped. Gronk's game, I mean, he was still dominant.
Yeah, Gronk, better career. I like your analogy, but better career, better player than Derrick Rose.
Dude, his yards per reception is 15.1 for a tight end. That's obscene.
And
Terrell Owens is 14.8 career.
And the most receiving yards per regular season game of any tight end, 68 yards per game.
Yeah, he was a better downfield threat than T.O. Okay? Like, it that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
The idea that he is anything but first ballot.
Well, you've given the tight end history, though. That's a problem.
I know.
It's been a problem.
Doesn't matter. Can't. Because he's more than just a tight end. He's a tight end and a wide receiver.
Okay, so are we taking him? The number one tight end has always been Tony G. Are we putting Tony G number two now?
And it
depends how you qualify it. Yeah, if you tell me I'm getting 5 healthy years from each, Yeah, I could go Gronk, but Tony Gonzalez is my number one tight end of all time still. I'm not putting Rob Gronkowski up there. Yeah, better highlights, better ceiling. Tony Gonzalez was a freaking all-world machine
year in
and year out.
He was.
16 games a year for 14 straight seasons for Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Like, that is hard.
Close to it, yeah.
That's hard to match up against, especially when each of those years, at worst, he's putting up 650.
Yeah, Tony missed two games in his career.
What?
Yeah.
He missed two games.
He missed
one game in 1999, and he missed one game in 2006. Other than that, he played every game, and he started every other game.
All right, tomorrow, Witten and Gronk are there in the draft.
Oh, you're taking Gronk. It's not even close.
Knowing everything you know, that was a great question by Gavin Dawson, I think, who put that out there. He said, knowing everything you know about their careers, you have Witten, you have Gronk, and it's going to play out the exact same way in terms of consistency, in terms of injuries, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you taking?
You're taking the more explosive player.
Who's on the sideline a lot.
Who's going to be on the sideline a lot.
You recognize that if you don't
win within the first couple of years, then you're not going to have him for some playoff runs. You're not going to have him for some pivotal games at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking Tony or Dak? Take a Tony. Who's on the sideline? Tony.
Well,
you take the more talented player.
Well,
that comparison's a little unfair.
Was Tony that injury prone? I don't think of Tony at the end.
I mean, he missed basically half of 2010. That was like right in the prime of his career. He missed 2015, 2016. I mean, he missed quite a bit of time. He was injury prone.
I guess I kind of think Gronk a little bit, you know, like Griffey too. Like, there's always that injury. Like Griffey, yes, our childhood, hat backwards, revolutionary, best player. Griffey just was hurt all the time. But Tony games played from 2014 on 15, 15, 16, 16, 6, 16, 13, 16, 16, 16. So, I mean, I don't consider Tony injury prone, but again, the old saying in sports, the best ability is availability. If you know that Jason is going to be there every single year giving you, 60 catches a season? Like, you just know he's going to be there, and maybe even more than that. He's got double the receptions of Gronk. Shoot, in his prime, it was 80 or 90 catches in a season. So Rob Gronkowski stepping away. Antonio Gates gets lost in this as well.
There's a lot of guys, like, man, Shannon Sharp. I went down the list, and I honestly thought I might put Gronk, even though he was great in the greatness that he had in the short time, I might put him like five in terms of all-time great tight ends. Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and who am I missing there?
Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, and Shannon.
Like, those four guys I would put above him, and honestly, if Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz have the longevity that their careers could have, they're on their way too. It's not taking anything away from Gronk, amazing red zone weapon, but you've got to have played longer than into your age 29 season.
Robert Kraft apologizes, says, I am truly sorry. I have remained silent these past several weeks, and I'm truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Throughout my life, I have always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, that I had as a partner for 50 years. As I move forward,
man,
I hope to regain.
Took a week. Took a week after that poor lady died for him to find that other girl.
You going to bring up the dead wife in your apology?
Yeah, come on now, Bobby.
Wow.
Let me ask a really, it's a real, real, real question. It might be messed up.
That's fine. We're about to break anyway.
I don't know if he still has the girlfriend. I know the girlfriend probably not thrilled with the whole Orchids of Asia event, but do you think she gets mad that the wife is dropped in the press release?
I don't think so.
Is that a sympathetic move? to do that. It has to be, right? Oh,
what do you mean has to be? It is a sympathetic mood. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure Robert Kraft's girlfriend went and complained to her fellow 23-year-olds about it. But just apologize for your wrongdoing, for being in the place that you were in and that you have shamed yourself, your family, and the Patriots. Don't bring up the dead wife. Mm. That was bad. When I read the apology, I'm like, perfect apology. This is going well. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't go for that.
I kind of cringed on the I have extraordinary respect for women one. I was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I did, too. I was like, are you admitting that you did something wrong besides just go to a prostitution place? Like, are you admitting that you knew something about the trafficking?
Ooh.
What's going on there? Like,
I didn't even think that.
If you're just going in for a consensual spa gate, then there's nothing that's lacking respect, right? It's two consenting adults. If there's trafficking, then it's not consenting.
Right. The story is, you know, that not consenting. But I think the counter argument would be, you know, is viewing them as prostitutes and people that are there for a service.
Right. But she knows if she's willing, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Any other defense for Robert that you'd like to throw out there?
It's not really a defense for Robert. I didn't defend Robert there. I defended his unnecessary "I respect women" thing. It was like, why would you even say that? Like, nobody thought that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.